Everyone had naturally arranged themselves into a circle, with monarchs at the front and high princes, viziers, interpreters, and scribes radiating out from them. Navani stood up and strode into the center. Just as everyone was quieting, Zabariel and his mistress finally sauntered in. They made right for the food and had apparently forgotten chairs entirely.
I know of no other conference like this in the history of Roshaw. Perhaps they were common in the days of the Knights Radiant, but certainly nothing like it has occurred since the Recreants. I would like to both welcome and thank you, our noble guests. Today, we make history.
It only took a desolation to cause it.
Zabariel was helping himself at the food table.
The world should end more often. It makes everyone so much more accommodating.
We are here to discuss the future of Roshaw. We must have a unified vision and goal.
She glanced around the room as people considered. She noticed the prime of Emul shifting in his seat. His name was Vexel, the Wise, but people often referred to the Makabaki princes and primes by their country, much as Alethi high princes were often referred to by their house name.
The course is obvious, isn't it? We must reclaim my nation from the hands of the traitor Parshman. Then we must conquer Tukar. It is completely unreasonable to allow this insane man who claims to be a god to continue bereaving the glorious Aesish Empire.
I will do my best to moderate fairly, your majesties, but do realize that I'm only one person. I depend upon you all to facilitate the discussion, rather than trying to talk over one another.
She nodded at the Aesish Prime, hoping he'd take the floor. A translator whispered her words into the Prime's left ear. Then Nora, the vizier, leaned forward and spoke quietly into the other, undoubtedly giving instructions.
They'll want to see how this plays out. One of the others will speak next. They'll want to contrast the Emuli position to assert themselves.
The throne recognizes the Prime of Emul, and we are aware of his desires. Anyone else have a comment?
My brother, the prince, wishes to address you.
The tall, refined representative from Tashik wore a flowery suit of yellow and gold rather than his people's traditional wrap. A scribe whispered to him as a spanreed scratched out the message Tashik's prince wanted conveyed to the gathering.
He'll contradict Emul. Point us in another direction. Toward Eerie, maybe.
We of Tashik are more interested in the discovery of these glorious portals. The Alethi have invited us here and told us we're part of a grand coalition. We would, respectfully, inquire how often we will have use of these gates and how to negotiate tariffs.
Onek was the next to speak.
Our gate and our historical homeland is being used without our permission. And while we thank the Alethi for securing it for us...
If there is to be war, then it's a bad time to be discussing tariffs. We should just agree to free trade.
Which would help your merchants, Finn. How about asking them to help the rest of us out with some free wartime supplies?
Emul!
Wait! Shouldn't we be concerned about Eerie and Rira, who seem to have fallen completely in with the enemy?
It was the Yazir princess who had spoken.
Please, please, let's do this in an orderly way. Perhaps before deciding where to fight, we could discuss how to best equip ourselves against the enemy threat.
Navani looked to Teravangian.
Your Majesty, can you tell us more about the shields your scholars in Yar Kaved are creating?
Yes, they are strong.
How strong?
Very strong. Strong enough. How strong do you need them to be?
The half shards will give us an edge against the enemy. We've given the plans to the Aesish scholars. I'm looking forward to pooling our resources and studying the process.
Could it lead to shardplate?
Possibly. But the more I study what we've discovered here in Urethiru, the more I've come to realize that our image of the ancients having fantastic technology was deeply flawed. An exaggeration at best, perhaps a fancy.
But shards!
Manifestations of Spren, not Fabrial technology. Even the gemstones we discovered, containing words of ancient radiance during the days when they left Urethiru, were crude, if used in a way we hadn't yet explored. All this time we've been assuming that we lost great technology in the desolations, but it seems we are far, far more advanced than the ancients ever were. It is the process of bonding Spren that we lost.
Not lost, abandoned.
Yennagon looked toward Dalinar, who sat in a relaxed posture. Not slumped, but not stiff either. A posture that somehow read as, I'm in control here, don't pretend otherwise. Dalinar loomed over a room, even when trying to be unobtrusive. That furrowed brow darkened his blue eyes, and the way he rubbed his chin evoked the image of a man contemplating whom to execute first. The attendees had arranged their seats roughly in a circle, but most of them faced Dalinar, who sat by Navani's chair. After everything that had happened, they didn't trust him.
The ancient oaths are spoken once more. We are again radiant. This time, we will not abandon you. I vow it.
Nora the Vizier whispered in the Azish Prime's ear, and he nodded before speaking.
We are still very concerned about the powers in which you dabble, these abilities. Who is to say that the Lost Radiants were wrong in abandoning them? They were frightened of something, and they locked these portals for a reason.
It is too late to turn back from this now, Your Majesty. I have bonded the Stormfather himself. We must either use these abilities or crumble beneath the invasion.